Well, good morning. I can't hear you. Good morning. It's good to see you. I can sort of see you. You're out there somewhere. My echo is with Dan. Thanks, tech team, getting us all organised to try and make sound and visibility much better. If you were here at the beginning, you would have heard Dan talk about this guy who's really intolerant that kicked everyone out of church last week. That's me. Welcome to church. My name is Steve. If this is your first time here, I'm the lead pastor. We're going to be looking at a question. We've been looking at a series of questions for the last 2 weeks, this week, and then one more next week. But just before we get there, a little message on the whole COVID dance, church. Dan, that was awesome. You were so clear on what we're doing. Now I'm going to give us all an opportunity just to go boo. Go boo, boo. I love singing with you. We're not allowed to. I love walking around the room with you. We're not allowed to. I love if the time is right, that after a church service, we're talking and we just need to pray and put a hand on your shoulder. We're not allowed to at the moment. And so we just got to accept it. That's where we're at. Thank God for a government that's wanting to look after us. So we've had our grieving moment. And now let's not be a girl's blouse. Thanks, Adam, for introducing that phrase around here. That was beautiful. And move forward. Or a boy's blouse, for that matter. We are allowed to grieve the fact that we don't get to do some of the things that we want to do. There are changes. And that's a shame, but they're for our safety. Thank God for a government. Now, let's get to our question for this week. Why are Christians so intolerant of other beliefs? Now, just from the question alone, you can tell that when we did the survey for this Take a Shot series, we asked our friends to take a shot at Christianity. If we wandered around the street and asked the general public to take a shot at Christianity, the question would not have been so nice. The question would have been, why are Christians so full of themselves? Why are Christians so bigoted? Why are Christians such jerks? Or it wouldn't even been a question at all. It just would have been an assertion. Christian intolerance is dangerous and it must be stopped. And so thank you to friends and family for being nice. I appreciate that. And I'd like to return the love. Let me be the one that puts the question behind the question on the table. You see, the question behind the question, why are Christians intolerant, is this. Don't you Christians realize how dangerous you are to a peaceful society? Now, hopefully this sermon will generate some questions. If you have a question, you can text it through to that number there. Hopefully at home it's on your screen as well. Dan will bring me some questions after this sermon and I'll attempt to answer them. But don't Christians realize how dangerous we are? I mean, an intolerant person, let alone an intolerant movement, is dangerous. The danger of intolerance was on display with the storming of Capitol Hill in the United States. We feel the threat of intolerance when a neo-Nazi group roams through Halls Creek on Australia Day. Intolerance is dangerous, which is why religions like Christianity. Now, some of you aren't going to believe a Christian preacher is about to say what I say. So listen. Which is why religions like Christianity can be dangerous. You see, if you believe you have answers to life's most important questions, then arrogance is almost guaranteed. Any group that believes they have the truth and calls its followers to live out that truth tends to have a sense of superiority. They either look down on people who don't share the same beliefs, or they retreat from other people who don't have the same beliefs, or at worst, they're mean to people who don't have the same beliefs. And so today's take a shot question is crucial when we understand where we're at in the West. The West is tearing itself apart. Cancel culture, toxic trolls, deeply divided politics, the age of rage, negative narratives. The West is fractured and fighting. One of the memes from the 90s was the beauty pageant contestant stepping up to the microphone to answer the question that was put to them. If you win Miss Universe, what will you do with your title? And the answer was world peace. Yeah, told you it was a meme. We all know it. And unfortunately, after a couple of decades of beauty pageant winners, we're still struggling with world peace. We are fractured and fighting. And some are arguing the greatest threat to world peace is religion. And so today's take a shot question is highly relevant. Why are Christians so intolerant of other beliefs? This is an important question because intolerance is dangerous. And so here's how I'm going to tackle the question. First, we're going to tackle the question by looking at two attempts that have been made to put some boundaries around religious intolerance and the danger that that presents. Two attempts that have been attempted today around the world and they're not working. Then I'm going to offer another attempt to protect us from the danger of intolerance. And then I'm going to finish with my own bold assertion. We are all exclusive. Only Jesus is good. And so we're looking at the question, why are Christians so intolerant? And I'm admitting, I'm opening it up with, yes, intolerance is dangerous. And so we're firstly going to look at, well, two attempts to try and protect society from the danger of religious intolerance, and they're not working. I'm going to offer another alternative and then finish with a bold assertion. The first attempt to stop the dangerous effects of intolerant religious beliefs has been to, well, let's stop religion. Countries that just try and shut religion down. But here's the thing. Trying to stop religion will never work. Look through history, look at countries that have tried to stop religion, and religion just keeps sprouting up. Religion always springs back. In the 1940s, the Chinese Communist government kicked out all foreign missionaries, and look what happened. Christianity has risen up from grassroots indigenous churches. This is what happens over and over again. Most sociologists recognize that religion is currently on a rapid rise. In the last 100 years, religion in Korea has grown from 1% to 40%. For my brothers and sisters, just think about Christianity being on a 40% rise in China. 500 million Chinese Christians, that's pretty exciting, yeah? Such rapid increase of religion is true through many, many countries today. And so here's the reality that Western media does not want to let us in on. Religion is on the rise. No religion is on the decline. And here's the Christian take on why that always happens. Every human has a deep desire to worship something. Yes, as Christians, we believe that something is God. We were made by God, for God. We have a DNA, we have a strong desire to worship something greater than us. So trying to stamp out religion will never work. It never has, and it never will. which brings us to the second main attempt to try and put boundaries around the dangers of religious intolerance. And you'll know it as soon as I say it. It's to keep religion in the private life. That's what most Western nations are trying to do now, aren't they? Keep religion in the private life. Don't bring it into the public life. You have your religion. You have your religion. You have your no religion. That's okay. Just don't bring it to work. Don't bring it to politics. And don't bring it to policy. That sounds plausible. Leave religion at home when we come together as a society to decide how to live together peaceably. It sounds humble. Here's the problem. To say leave religion at home begs the question, what do we bring to the public table when we're trying to decide how to live together peaceably? If we leave religion at home, what are we bringing? Richard Rorty, an American philosopher, he argued, well, leave your values at home, leave your faith at home. Let's just bring together to the table when we're trying to decide how to work together peaceably as a society, what works. And all the pragmatists in the room went, amen. just work it out. But who gets to decide what works? Who gets to decide why what works works? Let me make this concrete by putting a contentious issue on the table. But don't worry, I don't want to resolve the contentious issue today. That's not my intent. If it's an issue that raises something for you, come and email me, let's talk. I'll meet you out the front gate, we can talk. We're not allowed to talk in here and mingle, but I'll meet you out there. But I'll put an issue on the table so that we can see that it is impossible to leave religion at home when we come to the table to decide what works. What's the issue? Abortion. Could have picked any. I'm putting this one on the table. How does a society come together and decide abortion laws without bringing values to the table? You see, a more traditional society will want to talk about family and community as we make decisions about right and wrong around abortion. A more progressive Western society will bring individualism to the table as a top value to decide what to work. And so there you've got people from one society valuing family and community, people from a more progressive modern society valuing the individual. How do we decide who gets to put their value on the table? Can you see that science will not help us with this? We all need to bring something to the table when we decide how does a society work together peaceably. Everybody brings their take on truth. The pragmatist argument is naive at best. At worst, it's covering up power dynamics. Who gets to decide? The most powerful. Quick recap on where we've been. We're looking at the question, why are Christians so intolerant of other beliefs? I'm saying, yep, intolerance is dangerous. But here's two things that haven't worked. Societies that try and squash religion, that doesn't work. Societies that say leave religion at home doesn't work because we're all bringing something to the table. And so what is this better solution I hinted at earlier? You ready? We should just admit we're all religious. Now, that's provocative. If you're here because you're wanting to know that question and you're a secularist, no card-carrying secularist wants to admit that they are religious. I know that. I'm being provocative intentionally because I want us to ask the question, what is religion? What is religion? And if your only answer is institutional, well, that's not good enough. If your only answer to the question, what is religion, is, well, beliefs and behaviours around morality and rituals and books, holy books, you'd only be half right. You see, religion is not simply a set of beliefs, it's a set of answers. Religion is a set of answers to the deep, important questions of life. Why are we here? What is right? What is wrong? How do we decide right and wrong? What is broken in our society? How do we fix it? Where should we be spending our resources? Answers to those sort of questions are religious. Science cannot answer those questions. And no society can operate without answering those deeper questions. Values and faith answer those deeper questions. And here I'm not using faith in the religious technical sense. Here I'm using faith in the broad sense. Faith is your truth that you act on. Jordan gave us a great example last week. Look at these guys in the middle. They've all got faith that green tube is not going to fall and crush them. And so that truth, that faith, is allowing them to sit there without any fear right now. In this sense, we are all religious. We all bring faith to the table. We all answer the big questions of life based on our values and where we place our faith. Everybody has faith. And now you're all looking up at that green tube. Leslie Newbegin helpfully argued in The Gospel in a Pluralist Society, doubt is not autonomous. Doubt is not autonomous. So you might doubt my belief that Jesus is the only way to have a relationship with God. But that doubt you have cannot stand alone. Even if that doubt is based on, well, there is no God, or that doubt is based on, there's many ways to God, your doubt cannot be autonomous. You must have a faith in something else. We all bring values and faith to the big questions of life, which means we all bring faith to the peacemaking table. And the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we won't be like the 90s meme. Well, I just want world peace. Of course you do, otherwise we're going to lock you up. We all bring our faith and our values and what we believe is truth to the table. Everyone operates from values, truth, and faith. We have a set of beliefs on how society should work peaceably. And so let's be honest. We're all exclusive. We all have our exclusive beliefs. Now, does that make us all intolerant? I sure hope not. Some people are intolerant, but I hope you can see that just because Christians have certain values, belief, and faith, that does not make them automatically intolerant. It's good to have convictions about right and wrong. I hope we are all concerned about a group of men roaming through Halls Creek calling out, "Hail Hitler." Now, we're still left with the question, though, how can we go about living together peaceably? And here's where I want to introduce Jesus. See, I've just said we're all exclusive. We all have our exclusive take on truth and beliefs. And Jesus, as we heard from Danny's when she read to us from the Bible, Jesus makes a very exclusive claim. And so my assertion right now is, we are all exclusive, only Jesus is good. John 14:6, Jesus said this, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Listen, I get the fear of religious zealots. Did that come out right? If you fear religious zealots, so do I, is what I'm trying to say. I don't particularly care about the fear of religious zealots themselves. Too much grammar in one sentence. Okay, let me draw it back. To be even more pointed, there are things done in the name of Christianity that Christians are ashamed of. The Crusades. Preachers that have advocated race-based slavery. That's evil. Done in the name of Christianity. I get the fear of religious zealots. But let's also put on the table the Russian gulags. How about the 20th century and the number of people that were murdered, millions and millions of people killed by secularist zealots to try and stamp out religious zealots? Humanity has a massive problem when it comes together living peaceably. We see it in ourselves, we see it in our children. The toddler who has a mountain of toys and will not share one of them with a friend. Those of us enjoying the wealth of the first world, knowing we can end world poverty today. We can put a cease to sex slavery today. We have a massive, incurable problem when it comes to peace. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who left the glory of heaven and became human in order to rescue humanity. And note what Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." And we hear that, and we hear the exclusivity of that statement. Rightly so. Jesus is deliberately being exclusive. But what you might miss is that Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." You see, Jesus doesn't bring a playbook and say, "Now, if you read this, you will fix up your life and you will be better than those other people and God will like you." Jesus doesn't bring a textbook and say, "If you absorb this knowledge, you will be smarter than those other people and God will look favorably on you." Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." Jesus left heaven to come and rescue us by dying for us. Jesus came to die for us even though we didn't love or worship him. Jesus actually died for his enemies and then rose from the dead. And he now offers forgiveness to his enemies. Jesus does not coerce people into following him. Jesus doesn't make people follow him. Jesus loved us by dying for us. And on the foundation of that love, he now calls us to follow him. You see, all other religions are performance driven. Follow these set of rules, believe these sort of beliefs, and you will be better than those other people, and God will accept you. But get this, secularism is just as performance-driven. I mean, look at what happens when you don't get on board with the current secular agenda. Cancer culture, trolls, you cop it. You're either for us or against us. And so performance-driven religion is proud. Performance-driven secularism is proud. Jesus is humble. He's the Son of God who laid down his life for his enemies. Christianity is founded by a king who loved those who did not love him, a king who serves those who did not love him, who forgives those if they turn to him. This is why Christianity is the most inclusive belief system in the world. Sitting at the heart of Christianity is the answer to all of our big questions in life. Why are we here? What's right? What's wrong? What's wrong in society? How do we fix it? Jesus, the King, is just and he brings answers to those questions, but he just doesn't bring those answers. He brings them with all of his compassion, with his love, with his sacrifice, with his turning the other cheek, with his peace. Why are Christians so intolerant of other beliefs? Well, I believe it's an unfair question. Some churchgoers are intolerant, and they deserve to be called bigots. They are rightly seen as dangerous to society. But most Christians are tolerant because we recognize that we are not better than our neighbor. Why, our neighbor might even be kinder, more generous, smarter than we are. Christianity is not performance-driven like secularism. Christianity is humble, recognizing that we don't deserve God's love, but we get God's love because he is full of grace. Christianity is founded by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who laid down his life for his enemies. And he stands before us, he stands before you right now and says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And so if you've come in here today wondering why are Christians so intolerant, I encourage you to check out this Jesus. Adam checked him out 12 months ago and handed his life over to him. Maybe it's your turn. Sign up for our life course. It is running in 2 Wednesdays' time, Jordan. 2 Wednesdays' time. Sign up. It is a safe environment for you to come and ask all of your questions with no judgment. How about I pray, and Dan, you tell me if there's any questions, please. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you are full of grace and love and mercy, that you decide what's right, you decide what's wrong, and you're good. And you've shown that by sending your own Son to die for us. He took the punishment we deserve. And so, Father, we pray that those of us who are Christian in this room, that you'll remind us of the humility and the compassion and the kindness that we are supposed to walk out of these doors with. And, Father, for anyone here yet that is still checking you out, still checking your Son out, Father, please keep speaking and drawing them towards you. In the name of Jesus, amen.